You're listening to Leading Up with Udemy. This podcast is your guide to developing your skills as an emerging or seasoned leader. I'm Alan Todd, your host and the Vice President of Leadership Development at Udemy. Together, we can work, lead, and live differently to create a better world. This week, I'm speaking with Nick Craig, whose books like Leading from Purpose and Finding Your True North, A Personal Guide, have changed the lives of so many people all over the world. I like how Nick helps you discover your purpose and find your true north. And if you do those two things, it'll have a staggering effect on your life and career.
Knowing the gift of who you are is the key to being able to experience it and give it. It's the ultimate expression of what we mean by leadership.
Nick's work has been featured in Forbes magazine and the Harvard Business Review, and his books have been the foundation of leadership development in business school classes across the country. As the president of the CORE Leadership Institute, Nick has worked with leaders from West Point, Ben & Jerry's, and the Lego Company to help them discover their unique purpose as leaders. I'm thrilled to have him here today to help you begin to define your own purpose. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Alan, it's great to be here with you.
Thank you so much. All right, so purpose is one of those concepts we know. Everybody says we got to have it, right? I guess it's like eating our broccoli. But I think you've given this a lot more thought than most people. You've written multiple books. You've been consulting. You've taught all over the world, advising companies. And so I'd love to start with just tell us, what do you mean when you say we must lead from purpose? Maybe tell us what purpose is and how does that direct our leadership?
In some ways, you know, my understanding or definition of purpose really is about what is that unique gift that each of us brings, that if we're not there, it doesn't show up. So it's fairly profound in the sense that it really is understanding our gift and how do we best use it, which is not about our role or title or expertise. I can have two actors doing the same Shakespeare play, and they're completely different plays because of the uniqueness of each of them. And in some sense, that's what we're really looking at. When we go to a beautiful museum and we see a beautiful piece, we're speaking to the essence of who that person is who created it. In some sense, that's what I'm really looking for. If we think about our journey in life, in the work we do, both in the work side and the family side, what is that legacy contract that we're here to fulfill? That's purpose.
Yeah, so this is pretty deep. This is not surface level stuff. So can you talk a little bit about how do we discover our purpose? Where does the journey begin? How do we start to make headway?
Yeah, so the interesting challenge I found with this journey is that it's very difficult for any of us by ourselves to figure it out. So I know there's a lot of people who are saying, well, okay, just tell me what questions they answer. And I have questions in the book that people can play with. And in some sense, it's a revealing of the journey you've been on in your life, looking at the magical moments, looking at the moments that have awoken us to a deeper part of ourselves. But at the same time, it's looking at the thread through time. And when we look at it through time, what we discover is a way of looking at the world that is only ours. Now, we end up using a set of words to describe what that is. And in some ways, those words are simply a metaphor, okay? They're a way of us helping access it, but they remind us of that place inside of us. So I had a woman who, she said, you know, my purpose is to help you succeed while I succeed as well. We were all looking at her going, no, that is not your purpose. Sounds great. You know, it's a great tagline, right? But she was way too edgy and too powerful of a person for that to be her purpose. And when we dig into her journey in life, it turned out that she had grown up as a Palestinian refugee in the 80s and 90s. And as we were talking about it, she talked about being stuck in Bahrain and not being able to fly her kite. It was illegal. And we're like, okay, where is this story going? She said, you know, my magical moment as a kid was when we were watching the space shuttle, which was the farthest thing from the world we lived in at the time. And my father, I said, look, I want to fly my kite. And I said, he said, you can't. He said, but we're going to take your kite and turn it into a rocket because people get caught in the strings of the kite and you will never get caught in the strings because you're about transformation and making things happen that nobody else can make happen. And as she's telling us this story, we're watching all of us go, oh my God, that's who this person is. Her purpose is to take people who fly kites and have them build rockets. She's somebody who always transforms any business, any context. Everything is possible. Nothing is impossible for her. And so in that moment, we were able to deeply connect to the gift that she is, that when she saw it, it made so much more clarity as to what kind of role she should take, what kind of job she should take, what she shouldn't do, why certain jobs had worked or not worked in her life. It was like all of a sudden, everything made sense. So in some sense, that's what purpose does for us, is it gives us ability to finally be okay with who we are in a world that is spending all of its time trying to tell us who to be. E.E. Cummins' famous line is, you know, the biggest challenge in life is to find your own path in a world that is screaming at us, telling us who we should be every day, and to follow that path. And it is really the hardest in a world that, I can open up the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Harvard Business Review, or any of them, and inherently in every one of them is a message of, here's who you should be like, because they're doing really well right now. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not it. Purpose is about finding that deeper truth so that each of us can be at peace with ourselves as to what is it that is our journey.
Yeah. So you gave us a magic moment from childhood and a great story from kites to rocket ships as a way for us to think about discovery of our own purpose. But I'm wondering if you have other examples beyond magic moments. Talk about crucibles, tough times.
So having done so many of these conversations with people, the question I ask was, are there some patterns as to where do we access that magical place and stuff? Where do we get that sense of what our purpose is? In my experience is that there's three fundamental core places that we get access. One is through a magical moment in your childhood where before the world tells you who you should be, you have this experience that is still with you. And many of us have those. And when we tell those stories, we become a much younger person instantly as we tell the story. One of the other places is our most challenging life experiences, not how we get into them, but how we get out of them. Because the reality is that I think many of us may fall into the same challenging experiences, but we each get out of it in a different way. And in some sense, it's a real litmus test of what purpose looks like for each of us, how we dig ourselves out. The third way is through some deep passion that connects to us in some deep way and part of our life. But from the crucibles, you know, I've had a number of different people where their experience in life has been so powerfully intense that for those of us listening, we didn't know how we would have ever survived it. But there's a level of joy that they have as they're telling the story where you start to go, there's something else going on here. One of my most favorite stories, I have a woman who was a senior executive and she was in the middle of having to turn around a part of a business in a part of the world that no one else had been able to turn around. And she was now in charge and she was all excited and just thrilled to have an opportunity in which everybody else had failed. So I'm sitting there looking at her going, why is she so happy? What is going on inside of her that's different than anybody else who would just be scared to death to be like, oh no, they've given me the toad of toads and am I going to die, right? You know, it's imposter syndrome on steroids, right? She had none of that. So I start looking, we start talking, and then she starts telling me story after story of these incredibly painful, terrible things that have happened to her with this wonderful joy. One of them was, having made it to, she wanted to be managing director and she had done everything to get there. All the managing directors were guys. And the CEO brings her in and he says, you know what? I'm going to give you this job because we need someone who's not a guy to be a managing director. She proceeded to basically say to him, thank you very much, but I'm sorry, I quit. After spending like 8 years to get to this place because she wasn't going to take it under those conditions. The next one, she closed the anchor store during the Great Recession in Hong Kong that they just opened, and she had to let go of everybody, and they weren't going to get any severance, and they didn't have any jobs. And she decided that for all 20 of them, she would walk around and take every bullet she had, silver bullet, and she would make sure that they all got something. And when she left, she didn't get the package, and she didn't care. She had story after story after story after story. Now, instead of being the victim, which is what most people would be in this context, as you tell these stories, you go, these terrible things are always happening to me. She was like, I just basically said, no, I'm going to do the hard right instead of the easy wrong always. And she pushed through. Now, 10 years later, she took this business that was a toad. She had this incremental growth that was unbelievable, transformed it. She became number two in this company. And it was just this amazing story. And her purpose is to, with determination, thrive when no one can see any possibility of light. And it's like, when she said it, the whole room just goes, oh my God, this is who this woman is. You're like, holy cow. And it's like, there's certain people where if the bullets are flying, you want them in the trench with you. And those are the people who their purposes are connected to that deep, challenging place in them. When things start to blow up, they're like, they're walking into the room of fire and saying, okay, you guys get out. That's my turn to go in.
It feels magical in and of itself, reading your book, Leading from Purpose, that the stories that are told, even the one that you just told, you left out even parts about some of her crucibles that formed her.
Some of them are so intense that you're like, oh, you know.
So intense.
The worst part was is normally when we do these kind of experiences, we say, you know, we wanted to tell three crazy, horrible things that have happened, and we'll go around each person, tell a story, tell a second story, tell a third. By the third one, everybody's told one where they're just like, okay, yeah. Whoa. And she said, you know, I have a fourth one I need to tell. And we were like, are you kidding me? We were like, could you just please stop talking? Because every one of them made everybody else feel like they were like, you know, nothing had ever happened in their life.
Right.
But I think what I want to say to everybody is that there's a normal way that we're supposed to react to things. And because of our purpose, for many of us, we don't have that same reaction to those things as other people. And it gives us a way to see things that others can't see. And for her particularly, when all the chips are down, she could see the possibilities that others could never see. I have other people, you know, that they'll see some possibility of transforming and doing something amazing that nobody else can see, but it comes from a different aspect of what that deep sense of purpose is inside each one of them. So that's why when we try to all sort of copy these people that we see in the world that are doing these amazing things, how I go, yeah, that's not going to actually work. Purpose doesn't work that way.
Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and again, it comes through loud and clear in the book, is every time you tell a story of somebody sort of having this breakthrough moment, everyone goes like, yeah, that's you. It's like really clear that others feel it. So I'm wondering, is there something, let's say, you know, I want to get more clarity around my purpose. Do I ask colleagues, friends, family, what do you tell people to do to get that, like that feedback that's like being in the room with you?
Look, I think we all have had those late night conversations with people around the fire, or that metaphor of the fire, where we sort of take off all the Kevlar and we sit and we really talk about where we're at, what really matters to us, and why. In some sense, I think the invitation is that's the place purpose resides for all of us. And the question I will ask people without knowing your purpose, but for each of you, this is a really important question to think about. It's a place that purpose has to show up to support you. If I ask you, how can you save a little more money? That doesn't require purpose. But if I ask you, Alan, what's the one or two things in the context of the role you play, only you can do, because you're the one who sees that it needs to be done and it's important to you. And whether you're a cashier in a grocery store, whether you're a CEO, whether you're flying an airplane for Delta Airlines, we all have a way of answering that as to what is the one or two things only we can do because we really see it, it really matters to us. They don't see it as important. They don't see it in the first place. And they probably don't act on it as well. When Sully landed his plane in the Hudson, what was interesting is that for the previous 20 years, he was a complete crazy nut about safety in a way that nobody else was. He had actually created U.S. Air's emergency manual. He was the creator. He wrote the manual. So when everything was happening, he didn't have to say, let's pull out the manual and figure out what we're supposed to do. He had written the thing. So he was perfectly designed for this particular moment because he had actually trained people on what to do. Another way to think about it is, you know, what really excites you and scares you a little bit as far as a big project or adventure. If there's nothing scary about it, it's called vacation, right? There's risk in it. And those are the things where our purpose shows up whether we know what the wording is or not, because it has to. It has to show up to help us. There's our normal sort of way of operating, which is, let's all be nice, let's be effective, show up on time, and do all the things. But if you do all those things, you're invisible. You're just highly productively invisible in whatever context you happen to be in. Okay?
Yeah.
And somebody else is going to get the next job because there's something else that they're bringing that everybody says, you know, when Ralph shows up, there's that extra thing he brings. It's like, oh my God. And once again, you know, we all have it. The question is how do you own it? How do you step fully into it?
Buzz around Gen AI isn't going anywhere. Leaders and managers are key to identifying how their companies can use the technology and creating a plan to grow their employees' skills. Learn how Udemy can help at business.udemy.com/GenAI now. So, let's talk through the lens now of millennials and Gen Z.
Yep.
So I'm early career. I'm not a leader. So why do I need to do this? Why do I need to think about this?
The good news is I think we now live in a world where there aren't any leaders who have any real ability to actually control much of anything.
Yeah.
So I think that the concept that we've had historically of this hierarchy or leader model thing where you have people reporting to you is completely broken. Okay. I mean, if anybody can find one that's working these days, please let me know.
Before you go further, you've piqued my curiosity. Do you see the crumbling of a hierarchy or do you see a new organizational model? And I want to hear it from purpose, but yeah. It seems to me that that's the thing that works today is still hierarchy.
Well, here's the thing. I believe for everybody that's in their 20s and 30s, it's hard for you to probably see anybody who's in their 40s or 50s that you want to follow in their shoes. The question then becomes is, what is this thing going to look like? And how are we going to lead in this new world where it's just not going to have the same model and the level of being adaptable, flexible, creative, innovative, and seeing possibilities where others don't see it is really what leading has always been about. So another way to think about this is, let's talk about following maps versus being a map maker. I believe that management is about following a well-developed map that other people believe work, and your job is to follow the map and not divert from it. And if you do, then you should be rewarded for having followed the map. That works in a fairly well-defined world. And if you're running a nuclear plant, you probably, I would hope you follow the map. Bad things might happen otherwise. The other group of people are called map makers. These are people where their map doesn't exist. They're going to create the map as they go, and then they're going to hand it to other people at some point who are going to then be following the map once they've figured this thing out. My sense is that that's the world we now live in. Most everything that we now face in whatever industry you happen to be in, and I can't think of any one of them that this isn't the case anymore, everybody agrees that the existing maps that they have are not useful. None of them are going to help, really. But without a map, people are a bit freaked out. The reality is it's the opportunities for those in the world who are going to step into that map-making role. The Taylor Swifts of the world, using her as a wonderful example of somebody who is a map-maker in that context. But if I look around the world at the people that we now start to say, wow, they're all map-makers. In my sense, for everybody who's Gen Z, I don't care whatever label you want to use, it doesn't almost make any difference, is I don't think any of us are seeing a world that I saw where I said, oh, you know, that looks good. I'll be like those people. I'll go down that path. So I really think we're all going to have to become map makers. And I think that in some ways, that's a replacement for the word leader. But in some ways, people will end up following us because by making the map, people are going to go, okay, this person has some idea. Let's go with that. Let's see how that works. And we keep working. We keep stepping into it. And that is probably a more helpful metaphor for all of us. Purpose has been around for over 2,000 years. Marcus Aurelius has a beautiful quote saying, most people waste their life because they have no purpose. And he was the emperor of Rome 2,000 years ago. So here we have the first leadership book written, the Emperor's Handbook, a Stoic philosopher, who is the first book we still have. Okay. And it basically is saying, you know, if you don't have purpose, you're wasting your time. For 2,000 years, it almost is no one cared. Because there was maps to follow, and everybody was going to follow the map, and nobody cared. Okay, now, unfortunately, all of us, if we're not map-making, yeah, it's not going to look good.
I guess.
Once again, purpose gives us the ability to listen to our deep truth inside of us instead of everyone else's. It's the one voice that will always give you a piece of wisdom that is yours instead of someone else's.
There's also good research on intrinsic motivation, right? And I think you quoted Dan Pink, autonomy, mastery, and purpose. I'm wondering if you could talk about how purpose, let's say I talk to a lot of early career people that are struggling with housing costs and interest rates and social issues from global warming on down the line. There are a lot of things that could easily get you down. And I see people kind of bewildered by all of that. And it strikes me as a good opportunity to inquire a little deeper about what drives you.
So here's what I know from experience. Most everything that's given to us at some point gets taken away. The laws of gravity are pretty clear. Okay, seven yep. ages of a man, as Shakespeare says. You know, you start with a baby and you end basically dead. So it's like, welcome to the show. And all we do is we add frequent flyer miles and vacations in there now. But for the most part, the story's still the same. The one thing that nobody can give you or take away is your purpose. Purpose actually doesn't have much value to us when we're successful. Like if I go to a nice school and then you get a nice job and you move up and you get married and you have kids and you keep moving up and you work your way up to the top. And I met these people. They're like Teflon, but there's not much behind the scene. And it's like, ooh, it looks a little scary from this side. I believe the best thing that can happen to us is not a straight line, but it's the crooked line when things break and we have to find out who we are independent of the fact that the script isn't working anymore. And I think that the edgy part about purpose is that it really doesn't show up until that time. So there's a deeper reason for why we're here, which is it's supposed to be easy and work out. I think this isn't the place we should all be showing up. I think we live in a world today that everybody is very clear that is extremely unpredictable. Even more reason why we need some certainty on the inside.
Makes perfect sense. So let's talk about lack of purpose. So you quote studies, leaders with clarity of purpose, people stay longer, job satisfaction's higher, they're more engaged at work. And the presence or lack of purpose was what you said had the highest impact on employee morale. So if leading from purpose is so powerful, why aren't more people doing it? Why is it so difficult?
So I think the good news is that I think it's good that it's difficult. I think if you don't have to work hard to get it, I think you have to dig. Look, I know a lot of people, they say, I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to make the world a better place. And I'm like, really? Oh, that is so awful. I just like, just shoot me. You know, if they say my purpose is to be the mama bear that makes sure that you make it safely home, I'm like, okay, I'm following you. I'm going to be okay with you. That's a real purpose. But that's somebody who's had crazy things happen to them and had to make sure that people got home when they weren't sure they were going to get home. And that metaphor really, really, really means something to them and to the person they say it to. So, I think that once again, I think for anybody listening, the truth is that the opportunity is to sit down and spend 5 or 10 minutes and just write down what are some key moments that really have impacted you where you saw something in yourself that you didn't know? What is it that you really deeply care about wanting to make happen that doesn't make any sense and why? And what is it you see that matters? That's others look at you and go, oh my God, here they come again. What are they going to talk about this? In there is some sense of what that deeper piece is. Okay. And here's the other side of the coin is, look, I have There's an assumption that purpose and happiness are somehow connected. I think purpose and a deep sense of satisfaction are over time. I work with Ben and Jerry's, right? And so if I give everybody some ice cream, I can make you pretty happy for a period of time. And then all of a sudden, there's a price you pay. And so what's the deeper happiness through time? Many of the people I've worked with have postponed the small happiness for the bigger satisfaction, and purpose will have you do that. The research shows that having one kid doesn't make you unhappy. Having two does. Scientifically proven that, because you spend all your time worrying about them all the time for the rest of their lives. And any of us who've been parents know that our biggest arguments with our spouse, the biggest challenges we have, the things that don't fit in any box are all the things that happen with the kids. Why do we have kids? Well, there's some deeper purpose and reason for why we choose to have them, meaning. And with that comes the hard work. So purpose for me is hard work. I can't think of not wanting to do it. Okay. If I look at leaders, I got two people who are both a bit crazy and complicated, and they don't have the empathy I would like them to have. They don't have all the other things I want them to have. And one of them has a deep sense of purpose that people understand, and the other doesn't. Boy, everybody forgives the one with purpose in a way that they don't forgive the other one.
Yeah, like a Steve Jobs. Yeah. I mean, he was very purpose-driven, but was as off-putting as you could get. But everyone sort of forgave him of that because they knew he was a man on a mission, a lifetime mission. He certainly wasn't doing it for more money.
No, and there's a famous speech he's done where he was talking about his journey in life, and it's very purposeful. Having been very close to Steve and some people like him, it can be really, really hard when you're in the middle of it. But at the same time, once again, that deeper sense of purpose and what is it? I will say to everyone that there's big purpose and there's little purpose. Big purpose is changing the world, becoming impactful in the world. Little purpose is how you interact with the invisible people in the world, the waitresses, the stewards, the check-in people. And my experience is that I find where I can have the biggest impact is not the big purpose, it's little purpose. And when I ask people when I'm running programs, I say, you know, who are the people who were most influential to you and what did they say that impacted you? And they tell me what they said. I realize that many of those people who said those things to these individuals, it was a little purpose moment for them. It wasn't like this big thing, but it had such a deep, impactful experience for the person receiving it. So, you know, as much as we're talking about this isn't the big context, Alan, I think, you know, my conversation with you last time was my I experienced your purpose, your kindness, your grace, that essence of who I experienced you to be. And in some sense, for me, that's little purpose. But in some ways, if we think about for us, what's the brand of most of the people we have that we talk about around us, our friends and our colleagues, and vice versa, it's not the big purpose things they do that we talk about. It's the little purpose things they do or the non-purpose things that they do, which is what we spend our time talking about. What do you think of such and such? It's a really interesting conversation. So I think little purpose things we do, how do we bring that deeper sense of ourself to people? How do we interrupt the standard conversations that are mind-numbing and boring and say, what would be an expression of my purpose in this moment, in this conversation, sure as hell isn't just being mindless. We get to a very different conversation with people. So I want to take this and make it more just tangible for all of us. You know, what is it that's the small thing that if you go home to your spouse and do tonight or to somebody you work with that you go, okay, there's a normal thing I do. If I was to really bring my purpose and myself to this situation in this moment today, what would I do differently? You don't have to have the words for your purpose to know there's something really interesting that you might do. And then you do it, you go, oh my God, they love it. You love it. Everybody gets something out of it. And you're like, I feel so much better. Well, that feeling of so much better is what purpose feels like. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like you said, it brings you energy. I was introduced to your book by Bob Quinn from University of Michigan and a couple of years ago. And right around that time, I was going through a crucible moment, to say the least. And it was a lot of sleepless nights as you were describing the process some of the questions in your book fill notebooks in my house, right, that I try to answer. And I've been sort of evolving on trying to get clarity on my purpose. I'm just trying to point this out as you don't just answer it in 5 minutes. For me, it's go back and do this every couple months and think deeply about it. I find it to be some of the most important thinking and writing and work that I do for me to give me fulfillment and help me get to do what I get to do.
It's beautiful. Well, I think what you're exemplifying for me is people say, I really want to figure out my purpose statement. I says, it's really not important. What's important is telling stories and reflecting on the stories. And what you're describing is a journey of telling stories, writing stories, reflecting on them. And I've told many stories many, 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 many times. And I find there's every time I tell the story, I don't tell it the same way. Because there's something else to find in the story that I couldn't find before, because I wasn't the same person when I told it before. And so I think for you, as you're describing that, and I'm just grateful that you share it with me, I think purpose is about building that deep connection to ourself that is ours and no one else's, and to just be present to it. And when you're present to it, it's hard not to want to let other people have access to some of it as well. I mean, this is Bob Quinn's work. Bob Quinn is one of my best colleagues, friends, and his work on purpose, on the fundamental state of leadership, it's the same orientation that Bill, George, and I have been working on in many ways, the same sort of model. It's all really related. I feel like he's one of those wonderful people who really steps into his purpose when you interact with him, even more so than I do. And the question I have for all of us is who are the people who speak to that deeper part of you? I would say they're speaking from their purpose to your purpose. You should spend more time with those people. And the opportunity is to be one of those people that other people say, I want to spend more time with you. That is more important than changing the world, ending hunger, saving the whales, all those other things. They all need to be done. I'm not just suggesting they don't. But if you're the person that can see people and speak to that part of them, then that's what purpose is really about, the speaking to that deeper part of each one of us. Which I think actually, Alan, is one of your gifts, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last experience of you.
Well, thank you. And Eck, I appreciate it. I have the world's greatest job. I get to do this for a living, you know.
I get to learn from you as well as I have this conversation. And I think my hope is that as we've been talking, you're noticing that you're getting to step into those parts of yourself that are purposeful. Because as we're talking, we're bringing that into the conversation. We're making it easier for all of us to be in that place. And that's what the leading feels like. And when you're in it, you know.
Yep. I love it. It's like the roots of the word dialogue, dialogos, shared meaning flowing through a group. It's a powerful concept that I've fallen in love with. All right, Nick. So this has been wonderful. As we wrap up, we have a question that we ask everyone, and that is, what are you curious about and learning now?
Yeah, so what I'm curious about and learning now is I have many people calling me saying, I've made it to the top. I'm wildly successful. I'm done. I'm bored. What do I do as my legacy adventure where it's like open canvas and I actually have to choose instead of someone telling me? So I'm working on really how to help individuals that are ready for that next step in their journey to really step into it and to be able to paint the masterpiece that only they can paint now, which is very different than being in the corporate sort of playbook. So, which is I'm doing it for myself right now as I look at all this work and say, okay, great. I've had all these people I've worked with, but I'm like, oh, that next chapter, which is what's the legacy soul contract of what you were here to do that you couldn't do until you no longer had to follow somebody else's beat. So that's what I'm working.
Beautiful. Nick Craig, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
You're so welcome, my friend. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks again to Nick Craig for joining us today on the podcast. Follow Leading Up, a podcast from Udemy Business, wherever you find your podcast. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode to help you level up your leadership skills. Follow the show so you never miss a new episode. And if you like the show, leave a rating or a review. We love the feedback, and it really helps us to find new listeners. To learn more about Leading Up or how Udemy can help you develop leaders at scale and move business forward, visit business.udemy.com. The Leading Up podcast is produced in partnership with Pod People. Our original theme is by Soundboard.